Good morning. I have two announcements. Number one, it is fall, or spring rather, and we're supposed to spring forward, but apparently I changed the date backwards, so today's the 24th, not the 23rd. And Sharon and I will be traveling to Newark next weekend to do a preaching down in Newark, so I forgot to mention that this morning. It is really good to be here with all of you today. It is such a glorious day, and not just because of the beauty of the sun and the sky out there and the warmth that we feel, but it's a wonderful and glorious day because of Jesus Christ, our Lord, because we're here to be able to worship Him in spirit and truth, to care for the things of God, the things of heaven, to be able to fulfill the command of God with love. And so it's just a wonderful thing to be here and to be able to do these things in the name of God. In the scripture this morning that Brother Johnny read to you, really referring to Enoch. That's what our lesson will be based upon today. And as we think about this lesson, I want to mention an absolute truth, something that we really want to hold to. And that absolute truth is very simple. Our most important thought in life must be, what must I do to please God? That's the most important thing in life. Too many people in the world that we live in today, they take one step for God and one step for self. One step for God and one step for self. And eventually you end up taking a lot of steps for self and very few steps for God. But we have to have this must, the most powerful word in the English language. What must I do to please God? And that's what we want to talk about today, things that please God. As we look into the scriptures and we think about Enoch, there's some very notable things that we should be considering. First of all, when we think about Enoch, was not special. Okay? Jesus was special. Enoch was a man. No different than any person in this room. He wasn't so special that God just chose him for something. He was just a man. He was a fallen son of Adam and Eve. And he was in his sins just like we are. He needed salvation through Jesus Christ just as we do today. The blood of Christ has to be applied both in the past, the present, and the future. And he would be a partaker of that promise in the future when the Messiah was born of a virgin and came into this world and shed his blood. And so he wasn't special, and he certainly needed to be saved through Christ. And the act of physical walking with God is something we want to pay close attention to. You know, it wasn't the thing that made him worthy. And what I mean is, he was walking with God side by side isn't what made him worthy, that walk, physical walk. He wasn't holy enough in himself to walk with God and be worthy of eternal life. And so those are just things that we want to be thinking about. In Hebrews chapter 11 at verse 5, Hebrews 11 and 5, by faith, and that's where we want to make sure we understand, by faith Enoch, when he was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him, for before he was taken he had this testimony, that he pleased God. That's what we want to do today. That's how we want to live our life. That's really the most important thing, is to please God in every way. To please God through our worship. To please God through our living. To please God through our sharing His Son's news, the good news of salvation. To please God through loving one another, caring one another. We need to be thinking about what we must do to please God. Remember Hebrews 11 and 6, and we all know that. And that, you take verse 5 right into verse 6. we understand that if we come to Him, we have to come to Him in faith. Whoever comes to God must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So that's what Enoch did, and that's what we must do. We need to come to God in faith, and we need to live a life that pleases God. In other words, we keep His commandments. He's precious to us. You know, it's so important for us to be thinking about pleasing God every day of our lives. And I think it's really easy for us to be thinking about pleasing ourselves. You know, we can get away with that for a little while, but sooner or later it catches up with us. The Apostle Paul tells us that we walk by faith, not by sight. And so that's what that means. John, in the book of 1 John, chapter 1 at verse 7, he tells us to walk in the light as He is in the light, He being Jesus Christ. And when we do that, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all our sin, from all sin. We need to be a people that understand that important thing. Walking with God means walking in the light. Walking in the light means not walking in darkness. It means to walk by faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by God's precious word. And so we need to be that kind of people. And I really do believe that that's exactly what Enoch was. So obviously pleasing God requires that we have faith, an obedient faith, faith that has action, not faith that is just of the mind, that mental ascent that takes us up into heaven mentally. We need to be doers of the word, not hearers only. We need to walk by faith. And so certainly Jesus always did what pleases God. We think about the things that please God. You know, Jesus pleased God in His life. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 17, we read those words that, you know, and suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." That voice came from heaven when Jesus was going to be baptized by John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, when Jesus came to be baptized, you know, let it not be now. And Jesus, He said in verse 15 how important it, but He said to him, "Permit it to be so. Thus is fitting for us," He said, "us to fulfill all righteousness." And then of course He was baptized and that voice came from heaven. He said us. He didn't say me. So the implication is that Jesus, when He says it's fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness, that everything that God desires, we need to fulfill. All those things that God requires of us, we need to fulfill. We need to walk in a righteous path so that we can please God. And so if God commands us to do something, we need to do that thing, whatever that may be. And that way we're pleasing to God and not worrying about pleasing men. So that's what happened at His baptism. And then, of course, in His ministry, His walk upon the earth, He was fulfilling all righteousness. When James, Peter, and John were taken up onto that high mountain with Jesus in Matthew chapter 17, and while they were, you know, He was still speaking, Peter, and a voice came from heaven and overshadowed them, and that voice came from Him. Same kind of thing. In that cloud, that voice came and said, this is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And then He said, "Hear Him." And so when Jesus came in His ministry, He did the things, He taught the things, and He promoted everything that God had commanded Him. Everything, will of God, Jesus walked in it and He lived it. All that throughout that entire ministry. And when they took their eyes off of Jesus, God straightened them out. It's not Moses. It's not Elijah. It's Jesus. And you listen to Him. And so throughout his whole ministry, he literally did the will of God. And Jesus suffered. And believe it or not, these things all pleased God. He suffered. In 1 Peter 2 and at verse 21, we read about that suffering. That's what he was called to do. Christ suffered. He left all the joys and heavens of heaven and became an example to us. And Peter tells us that we should follow that same example. Now, I realize we're probably not going to be crucified. We're probably not going to be whipped and lashed with shards of glass. We're probably not going to be necessarily have a crown. We won't have a crown of thorns pressed in our head. None of those things. But we can suffer for Christ. We can give up of our own good things to suffer for Christ, to spend more time in His Word. We can spend more time speaking of Christ to people. You might even get spit on if you do that. You'll be certainly, there are going to be people that ridicule you and mock you and say evil things against you. But as Jesus said, so persecuted they the prophets who were before you. So we need to rejoice and be exceedingly glad in that kind of suffering. But we need to do whatever it takes to please God. And if that means to suffer for the sake of the gospel, then so be it. And Paul also tells us, because of his righteousness. He pleased God through his righteousness. God, he made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. In other words, Jesus Christ, he was tempted in all the same ways we were. He walked in a dark and evil world. And in that dark and evil world, people wanted him to trip. They wanted him to fall. They wanted him to say something that wasn't right. And they did everything they could to make that happen. But it wasn't until he was on that cross that all that righteousness came to a head and God made him sin. On our behalf, he became sin for us. He became sin. And his righteousness throughout his entire life was for us. And we also know from the scriptures because of his obedience. We know that, you know, he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who believe or all who obey. In other words, Jesus Christ, he was obedient to the Father in every way. Whatever the Father said, Jesus did. Jesus never argued with God. Even in the garden, we sang that song this morning. Even in the garden, you know, Jesus, he prayed that God would take this from him, but it was your will, not mine. The bottom line is God's will. And so Jesus pleased God by allowing himself to be baptized by man. He pleased God by walking and teaching the gospel, the coming of the kingdom, the good news. And he pleased God by his sufferings. He pleased God through his righteousness, and he pleased God through obedience. And those are things that we all need to follow. Something even more amazing is that it pleased God that Jesus Christ would die. You know, in Hebrews chapter 10 and at verse 7, we realize that, you know, behold, I have come in the volume of a book it was written of me, and this is talking about Jesus, to do your will, O God. And what was God's will? God's will was that Jesus Christ would die on a cross for our behalf. In John chapter 4 and verse 34, Jesus said that my food is to do the will of him who sent me. His focus was on doing the will of God, even to the point of death on a cross. He said, I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And so we need to be a people that are pleasing to God. Enoch walked with God. He pleased God by his obedience. He pleased God because he walked in faith. And Jesus Christ did the same thing. If you open your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, it tells us that it pleased God to bruise him. Isaiah chapter 53 and at verse 10. It pleased God to bruise him. You know, he put him to grief. That's what the scripture tells us. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 10. Let's read that together. Verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And so when Jesus died on that cross, it was pleasing to God. Why? Because Jesus was obeying God, even to the point of death. It pleased God. And we need to remember that. You know, we might fall short of pleasing God because it gets a little hard for us. Maybe we don't understand something, and maybe we question God, which we're allowed to do. But we need to find the answers, and we need to be a people that please God even in the hardest of times. Of course, Jesus' blood was shed in Hebrews chapter 9 and 22. According to the law, almost all things are purified through the shedding of blood, and without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And so his blood had to be shed. God's whole goal was to come and save us, and it had to be through that shedding of blood. And when Jesus went to that cross willingly, that pleased God. Also, our reconciliation pleased God. You note here what Paul wrote, "For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross." And so it pleased God that we would become his children, that we would be reconciled, brought together by that blood that had to be shed on Calvary's cross, the blood that was shed by the Lamb of God, the one who was out without sin, and the one who pleased God with his entire life and with his death. And so these scriptures, I hope you can see that they teach us that the life which Jesus lived, the death which Jesus died, they satisfy the demands of God for us. And since we can't do any of those things on our own, you know, we can keep God's will, we can do that, but we can't be a sacrifice for the sins of others. Only Jesus could have done that. And so we want to look at some things today that we can do, things that I'm sure Enoch did, and things that Moses walked with God, Enoch walked with God, Noah walked with God. And so we want to look at a few things today in the little bit of time we have left. Things that would be pleasing like Enoch. Please God through the foolishness of preaching. That's pretty interesting. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and at verse 21, there's a foolish message. The scripture reads, "For since in the wisdom of God the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe." Now, you know, if you read that out of context, that sounds pretty bad. The foolish message. That pleased God through the foolishness of the message. But we understand in context, it wasn't the foolish, the message isn't the thing that was foolish. It was the people who didn't believe the message, the people who thought it was foolishness, that the message became to them foolishness. I want you to look at chapter 1, at verses 22 through 25. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 22 through 25. And here we see those people, the Jews and the Greeks. The Jews were seeking a sign. The Greeks were seeking wisdom. But Paul says, we preach Christ crucified to the Jews, a stumbling block. In other words, he's not the Messiah. He's not the one that came. He's not the king that's going to set up a kingdom on the earth. And in their own wisdom, the message was foolish. And the Greeks, they were seeking after wisdom, but they weren't looking for wisdom from God. They were looking for wisdom from the world. So how could this Christ be the Messiah? How could this guy, I apologize for that. How can this Christ be the one who can save us? It's foolishness to them, a stumbling block for the Jews. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. You see the contrast. It's people who were foolish, people looking for the wrong things in all the wrong places, because the foolishness of God is wiser than the foolishness of the world. It's wiser. He's more powerful. God, you know, the weakness of God is more powerful than anything in the world. And they couldn't understand that. So for those people, they would never be able to please God because they thought the message was foolishness. God chose in verse 27 the foolish things of the world to put down the world, to put the world, the wise people of the world to shame. And so it's important for us just to preach the message. Yes, there'll be people who think it's a foolish message, people who think we're wasting time, that we believe in vain, but we know we serve a risen Savior. We know that Jesus Christ came out of that grave. We know that Jesus Christ is sitting at the right hand of God, and we know all those things are true by the witnesses of thousands who were present at the time. And preaching of that message, it pleased God that message be preached and people obey that gospel. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. He said, Jesus tells them, go out into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And of course, those people of the world will think that's a waste of time, just foolishness. I remember hearing, the so-called scientist say that he believed that this was several years ago, that in 10 years there will be no Christian churches. That was Bill Nye, the science guy. A lot of kids watch him. But he's wrong. He thinks this is all foolishness. Therefore, he will have a hard time coming to salvation. And we must also ask, preaching how? We're told to preach, to go out into all the world and preach to every creature, Jesus said. Number one, we preach not to please men. It doesn't matter whether people like what you preach or don't like what you preach. But as we have been approved by God and entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. That's how we need to preach. We need to preach the gospel and not worry about what we're saying. As long as we're preaching the gospel, we're preaching the truth. We're preaching the power of God and the salvation, and we should never worry about what other people think. I'm really saddened over some preachers that are looking for attention, and they care a whole lot whether people like what they say or not, and they might tone down some good preaching because somebody in the audience they know wouldn't want to hear it. But that's not why we're here. We're here to please God who tests our hearts. And Paul said in the book of Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, he said, if we, that is the apostles and those disciples, preach any other gospel than that which we preached at first, what happens? Let him be accursed. Kind of puts a lot of weight in the idea of preaching the right gospel. And then he goes on to say, and we say again, if anyone preaches a gospel other than that which you received, let him be accursed. You see, Paul wasn't trying to please men. And we're told to preach that gospel in season and out of season. When people want to hear, when people don't want to hear. At the funeral service yesterday, Brother Don Wright brought up a good account, which would make a good sermon. You might hear it sometime in the future. But he talked about, I believe it was Woodrow Wilson, who had a great fan following in his early presidency. And he would have people that would applaud him. Everything he said, they applauded. And then at the end of his presidency, the applause stopped. And that was the whole point. What do you do when the applause stops? Well, when it comes to spiritual matters, when the applause stops, you just keep on going. Paul told Timothy, I charge you before God and the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord, who will come and at his appearing, he will judge in his kingdom. When his kingdom comes, he will judge. And he says, you preach, be ready in season and out of season. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, he said. Convince, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and teaching, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. When the applause stops, you just need to keep on preaching. You're not preaching for notoriety. You're not preaching for applause. You're preaching the truth of the gospel to saving of the soul. And so he says there's going to be a time come when they won't endure sound doctrine. And that happens all throughout the history of the New Testament. It didn't start in this century. You know, you tell a story about a young man who said that, I can preach, more people listen up north than they do down south, or vice versa, either one. And where is that written? Where is it written that more people listen up here than down there, or down there than up here? It's not the point. We preach the gospel whether people listen or not. And there is a time when people won't endure the sound doctrine. According to their own desires, they'll heap up for themselves teachers. They have these itching ears and they heap up for themselves teachers, people who will say the things that they like to hear, and that has happened. These are people that don't please God. They're not walking with God in faith, not like Enoch. And according to their own desires, they're going to heap up those teachers, and they'll be turned away to fables instead of the truth. And so we need that. And Paul made it very clear in Galatians 1 and 10 when he says, Do I now, he asks the question, do I now persuade men or God? And he says, if I seek to please men, I'm no longer a bondservant of God or of Christ. And so we are bondservants of Christ. And so we're not out to please men. It pleases God if we seek to please Him. It pleases God if we speak the truth in love. It pleases God when we preach the whole gospel and not just bits and pieces. It pleases God when we practice what we preach. It also pleases God when we're saved. God is not pleased when we refuse to obey the gospel. He is not pleased in any way, shape, or form with us when we refuse to walk in righteousness, when we refuse to live by the truth, when we refuse to do the things and suffer for Him. God is very pleased with our salvation. In fact, that is God's desire for us, for this is the good and acceptable sight in God our Savior, who desires that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That if that's God's desire, that everyone be saved and come to the knowledge of truth, then that's what pleases God. And our waiting, literally, as the church, we wait Our citizenship is in heaven. Make no mistake. From which we eagerly await for who? Our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that's in heaven. And when we're eagerly awaiting and not just sitting around enjoying life and like, oh, well, yeah, maybe he'll come today. Maybe he'll come. We're eagerly awaiting. We're looking to heaven. We're desiring that the Lord come. That has to be something that's in us every day, and that will please God. I would challenge every one of us, especially myself, to look at myself in the mirror and say, am I? Every day, do I think about Jesus? Do I desire that he comes? Or do I go 2 or 3 days or a week even without even thinking about that? It pleases God when we eagerly await. You know, we're sitting on the edge of our chairs waiting. And that pleases God when we do that. And that Jesus Christ will come and transform this lowly body that we have and conform it to a glorious body according to the working by which he himself is able to subdue all things. And so we eagerly await this transformation. And we need to be a people that understand that. And that pleases God, that we're waiting eagerly with zealousness, desiring to see the face of God. Rather than going day by day through life and never even thinking about that. So let's make sure we please God in that respect. Galatians 3 and 27, that pleases God. As many of us as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. It pleases God. When we put on Christ, that means that we become a child of God, heirs to the kingdom. It means that we are a people who are a holy nation, right? A royal priesthood. We're a people who are living after the example of Jesus Christ, that we are living in our prayers every day, that we are zealous every day, seeking, desiring, waiting for Jesus to come every day, every day. A people who are so involved in the love of Christ in our hearts that we can't help but preach the gospel, that we can't help but tell people about Jesus Christ. That pleases God, that we put on Christ. We become like Christ. We are sanctified through his blood, saved by his blood, and we are living a life day by day, learning and growing in the knowledge of Christ and God, which is where our salvation is. In fact, it pleases God even when his saints die. You know, we realize that death is just a door to life. Death is an escape from this world. Death is a freedom from sin and condemnation. Death is a place where all the sorrows of life will be eliminated. Death is a place for the Christian where the mind, the soul, the spirit will find great release. No questions anymore. No worries anymore. So for the Christian, death is a blessing. The Apostle Paul is the one who said he was between a rock and a hard place, whether to die and be with Christ or to live and continue his work on the earth. And of course, he wanted to die and be with Christ, but he thought it was necessary to stay in this world and continue his work, continue sharing the gospel, continue planting churches, continue raising Jesus up in his messages. Death is a release. But if you're not a Christian, death is not a release. It is a curse. Death is a curse because if you're not a Christian, you'll be sent to that place where the fire burns forever. A terrible place separated from God for eternity. Death for someone who has not obeyed the gospel is a place where the worm just eats and crawls. Death is a terrible place for the non-Christian. And that'll be forever. When we realize death is no respecter of persons, it doesn't matter if you're young or old. It doesn't matter if you're healthy or sick. Death comes upon all. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. It's appointed unto all men to die once. Then comes the judgment. Death is not a respecter of you. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter if you're smart or dumb. Death comes on all. It's not a respecter of person. And we need to consider that when we think about pleasing God. Where will I be in eternity? In Revelation chapter 14 and at verse 13, John writes, "Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on." That's so important for every one of us. We want to walk to please God. We need to put on Christ. We need to be in Christ. And when we do die in the Lord, we rest from all our labors. And our works do follow us. The question now is, are you in the Lord? Are you ready? That's between you and God. But realize, again, death is no respecter of persons. In the book of Revelation, in chapter 22 and verse 14, or verse 12 rather, Jesus says, "Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city." He says, blessed are those who do his commandments. In chapter 21, at verse 8, he talks about those who don't do his commandments, those who aren't walking with him, those who aren't living by faith, those who are not pleasing to God. He says, "But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." We have a choice this day. Do we want to walk and please God throughout our life, or do we want to face eternal condemnation in the fires of hell of the devil? If we've walked with Christ and we've fallen off the path, today's a day to make that right with God, to repent of that sin, to be restored back to God so that we have that hope of heaven in the after while. So whatever your need is this day, whether it is to come forward, to be baptized and put on Christ, be pleasing to God for the rest of your life, or whether it is to return to God, turning away from a sin and be pleasing to God. Whatever your need is, please come forward as we sing the song 827, "Have You Counted the Lord?"